Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter, text number 50, given on September 21st, 1993, in Vrindavan.
Translation: Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Super Soul and guide of all living entities who have accepted material bodies within this world. He is the supreme controller of all material activities in material nature. He is also our best friend, and everyone should take shelter at his lotus feet. In doing so, one's life will be auspicious. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 18:61, it is said, Ishvara sarvabhutanam videsh arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The living entity is within the body, and the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is also there. He is called Antaryami and Chaitya Guru. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, He is controlling everything. Sarvasyachaham riddhi sannivishto matuksmatir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Everything is being directed by the Super Soul within the body. Therefore, the better part of valor is to take his direction and be happy. To take his directions, one needs to be a devotee. And this is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tvam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Although the Super Soul is in everyone's heart, Ishvara sarvabhutanam radesh arjuna tishtati, he talks only to pure devotees who constantly engage in his service. In Chaitanya Bhagavata, Ancha 3:45, it is said, now there's about four or five verses translated from Chaitanya Bhagavata. Tahare se bali vidya mantra ajayana krishna pada padmeye karaye stiramana. One who has fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna is to be understood as having the best education and as having studied all the Vedas. There are also other appropriate quotes in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Se se vidyar pala janiha nischaya krishna pada padme yati chitta bhittirai. The perfect result of an education is the fixing of one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Digvijay kariba vidyaya karyanahe ishvare bhajile se vidya satyakahe. Conquering the world by means of material education is not desirable. If one engages himself in devotional service, his education is perfected. Pari kene loka krishna bhakti janivar se yari nahila tabe vidyaya kikare. The purpose of education is to understand Krishna and his devotional service. If one does not do so, then education is false. Tahare se bali dharma karma sadachar ishvare se priti janme samata sabar. Being cultured, educated, very active and religious means developing natural love for Krishna. Everyone has dormant love for Krishna, and by culture and education, that has to be awakened. That is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. Once, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy what the best part of education was, and Ramananda Roy replied that the best part of education is advancement in Krishna consciousness. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschitade Sacharane. Prabhupada's purport discusses two topics, the super soul and education. And the super soul is himself a prime educator. But first, we have to know what is real education. Prabhupada refers to the talks of Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, in which questions were asked by Lord Chaitanya. One question is, what is education? And Ramananda Roy replied, there is no education that is important other than the transcendental devotional service of Krishna. And in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada describes four kinds of education. The first kind is material, which is also known as avidya. So it's so-called education, it's actually ignorance. But for the most part in the world, this is what is meant by education, material education. And people become very proud if they're educated or if they're educators. But the Isopanishad, 9th mantra, tells us that people who culture nescient activities, they go to the lowest place in the next life, darkest region of ignorance. But worse than them are those who culture so-called knowledge. So this is a distinction between people who are ordinary sense gratifiers and then people who are materially better than them, who are educated. So worse of the two are the educated people. One reason is that they victimize everybody else. They're giving them the propaganda that life should be spent improving your material situation and getting so much knowledge of this world and so on. They're compared to poisonous snakes with jewels on their heads. The jewel doesn't make them better, it makes them more dangerous. So these are very strong criticism of material education in Isopanishad, which Prabhupada follows up in his purports there about modern day education being like a slaughterhouse. So material education at best is the accurate study of material phenomena in so many departments and isms. But the result of that knowledge is temporary. It doesn't advance the real person. That's material knowledge at best, but often it is a cheating process of not even giving accurate information. So many hidden agendas in the name of material education, as was exposed recently in the book by the Bhaktivedanta Institute, Forbidden Archaeology, showing that so much knowledge was actually motivated by a theme of propaganda. I recently heard a conversation with Prabhupada, and devotees were talking about Britain, Great Britain's influence in India, and India since then. But one devotee said, I read in a book how in Indian history that Nehru is considered a very great and holy person. And Prabhupada said, that is propaganda. So in every country there is so much nationalistic propaganda or humanistic, atheistic propaganda and sometimes sectarian religious propaganda pushed in the name of education. So that's the dark side of material education, And even the bright side doesn't lead you anywhere. So the second kind of education is Brahma Vidya, which is far above material education. Prabhupada gives it the honorable word transcendental, but actually it stops far short of spiritual knowledge, because this Brahma Vidya means cultivation of the impersonal understanding of the absolute truth. At least it's an attempt to understand that which is eternal. Atato Brahma Jigyasa Janmajasataha. This is another negative form of education, however. And then, I'm referring to this one purport in 8245 of Majjhalila. The third kind of education, he says, is knowledge of devotional service unto Lord Vishnu. And then there's a fourth, devotional service to Lord Krishna, and that is the topmost education. We may ask, what is the difference between devotional service to Vishnu, that it should be one kind of knowledge, and then another kind of knowledge, devotional service to Krishna? In many ways they are the same, but one difference is the goal, the perfection of the goal of knowledge of Vishnu is Vaikuntha, and the perfection of the goal of Krishna consciousness is Goloka Vrindavan. And the means are also different, with stress on the awe and reverence of rules and regulations in worship of Lord Vishnu, and stress on the spontaneous service and hearing the specific sweet pastimes of Krishna and his associates in Vrindavan. So we are interested in this fourth kind of knowledge. And this devotional service education has aspects of theoretical and practical. Prabhupada gave this example, having himself had education in chemistry. He said there is theory, for example, the theory that water is composed of hydrogen two parts and oxygen one part, but then the student has to go into the laboratory and actually combine these chemicals and get water. Then his education is complete. Some examples of the theoretical side of Krishna consciousness can be called book learning, and sometimes deity worship is called practical or applied. That's because the deity worship involves so much activity of the body, bowing down, dressing, washing, cleaning. So in a sense, when the knowledge is in any way actively applied, not just mentally understood, it becomes into the applied area or practical area. But book knowledge also becomes theoretical. Theoretical book knowledge also becomes practical when it is taught, preached, when it is lived. We also distinguish theoretical and practical as jnana and vijnana, when the knowledge is understood but not realized. And then when we come to understand that how Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it is no longer theory only. Now, much of the purport, in fact the whole purport as far as the quotes, is all about the super soul in connection with education. So how is the super soul, the Lord in the heart, an educator? Two words are used here, Antaryami and Chetyaguru, to describe this. And there are examples. Although Prabhupada says this is very rare, you have to be a pure devotee to have the Lord in the heart as your teacher. To take his direction, one needs to be a devotee. Although the Lord is in everyone's heart, he talks only to the pure devotee. But one example is Lord Brahma. Atene Brahma Vidaya Adi Kavaye. He was the first learned person, and he learned Krishna consciousness from Lord Krishna in his heart. But there are other examples. Ramananda Rai is being discussed here. So he says at the end of his discussions with Lord Chaitanya, he's speaking this because he has been the teacher of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, "You have manifested many transcendental truths in my heart. This is exactly the way Narayan educated Lord Brahma." Then another example is Srila Rupa Goswami. In both cases, these persons had face-to-face relationships with Lord Chaitanya, but there was a special empowerment given in their hearts by the Lord. Of Rupa Goswami, it is said in the 19th chapter of Majjhi Lila, which are the teachings of Rupa Goswami, "Before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world." So, it's not that everything that Lord Chaitanya taught Rupa Goswami in 10 days at Prayag is the sum total of Rupa Goswami's knowledge of bhakti. He was not with Lord Chaitanya as much as others like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai in Gambira. And yet, he is the chief teacher, the Rasacharya, for Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. He's the compiler of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, and so many books. And so the secret or the method of his gaining this knowledge is given here. That in exactly the same way Lord Brahma learned in the heart, he learned. Another reference is a prayer by Shukadeva Goswami, in which he asks the Lord for that knowledge to be manifested in his heart. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. "May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me." This was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami when he invoked the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead before delivering Srimad Bhagavatam. So, even if you directly receive knowledge while sitting at the feet of Srila Vyasa or Lord Chaitanya, you beg that same Supreme Teacher to manifest these teachings in your heart. Sanatana Goswami also asked Lord Chaitanya this: "I've learned all these things from you, but how will I be able to speak them with any realization unless you bless me?" Now, admittedly, these are very exalted persons, and we may think that this method is not open to us, little devotees or servants of devotees. But there is indication that this, at least to some degree, not to the degree that Rupa Goswami was empowered, but that we also have access to the Lord in the heart as educator. The 10th chapter, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Vajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tom Yenaman Upayanti Te. Applies to any devotee who worships Krishna with love. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says these memorable words. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. Well, that sounds like not the most advanced person, that although he's serving his guru and he's in a movement like ISKCON, somehow or other he doesn't pick up the knowledge. But what is his qualification? Why would the Lord teach him? The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. So even materially, he may not have a high intelligence quotient, IQ, or a good material education. He may not even be able to read and write. Or he may appear very dull for other reasons, like Jad Bharat. But Krishna will see that he gets the essential knowledge if he's rendering service to the Guru and to Krishna. Prabhupada says, he should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love, not working just like an ass. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately to attain him. Well, that's very encouraging news. The super soul, of course, is not the only educator. That's not our philosophy. But he is there, Chaitya Guru. Guru, and there's other gurus, there's Guru, Diksha, Shiksha. Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. This summation describes sources of education in Krishna consciousness. And the Krishna consciousness movement is an educational movement. We have the specific educational facilities, especially in this temple. There's the Gurukula, Bhaktivedanta Swami Gurukula, where children are given education, practice of celibacy, knowledge of the spirit soul and Krishna, and all training. And then adult training, VIHE. So this kind of education is very important. But these are not the only activities in Krishna consciousness that could be called educational. Rather, it's all an educational movement. When we think of what is the service that this movement is giving to the world, in a word, it can be called education. We're not primarily giving food or shelter, as some institutions may primarily do. Our main purpose is not to get involved in politics of the world, although a devotee may do anything. This movement doesn't advocate violent revolution and many other things that it could be doing in order to make the world Krishna conscious. But Prabhupada's program was to spread Krishna consciousness by educational activity. You can call the word preaching, prachar, as educating. The idea is that what people need more than anything, even more than food, which they can get by nature's arrangement, but what they desperately need to solve their miserable condition is knowledge, education. People are suffering for ignorance. So the preaching means to give the books which have the knowledge, or tell people in lectures or by personal relationship this crucial information that they lack. Starting with that I am not this body, I'm spirit soul. And this means that I have to transmigrate due to karma. One should not commit sinful activities such as killing animals. In order to change these attitudes and behaviors, what's needed? Education is needed. Otherwise, people are not going to stop killing animals or acting on the platform of spirit soul. Other institutions can take care of pressing material needs, but this is the most pressing. People would misunderstand Prabhupada and think that his speaking was too intellectual or philosophical. His aims were too slow for the pressing problems of the world, or he was simply sectarian as a religionist, to always be emphasizing philosophy, methodical knowledge. First you have to understand you're not this body, and so on. But this is the only way. Of course, this education is speeded up by the processes like chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we gain knowledge of Krishna in the heart or through the power of the Maha Mantra. But the whole program is enlightenment, not ordinary education. Something mysterious or something that is not subject to ordinary reason. I remember first trying to understand Bhagavad Gita from Srila Prabhupada, and I thought, there's something extra that is needed beyond intellect to understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. How will I be able to understand it? So I asked Prabhupada, and he wrote in a letter that you're a sincere devotee, so Krishna will reveal the meaning of Bhagavad Gita to you. I was very pleased to think that I now knew how it could come about, and that it was by revelation. So you study, but then it is revealed, and this process is open to everyone. Therefore, the devotees have to become educated first, of course, and then give the education to others. It's not complete if you only know it yourself. Neither is it complete if, in the name of enthusiastic preaching, you want to tell others, but you don't know what it is you're trying to tell them. You have to read the books and distribute the books. So, we've discussed what is education and what is an educated person. Who is a learned person? A learned person is somebody who knows Krishna, who is practicing Krishna consciousness with some understanding. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami calls Haridas Thakur a param vidya, vidyan, param vidvan, a supremely learned person, in praising him. And then Prabhupada explains why. That a learned person is somebody who can get out of the entanglement of repeated birth and death, who knows the material nature is temporary, who knows the permanent solution, who knows Krishna. That's a learned person. And this is done by education in the ninefold process of bhakti yoga. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, vandanam, sakyam, atma, nivedanam. Iti pum sarpita vishnau bhaktis chennavalakshina kriyeta bhagavati adha tanmanyeditam uttamam. So the person who does these nine, he is learned. And Haridas Thakur, he was expert in especially the first two most important, Shravanam Kirtanam, therefore he's Mahabhagavat Param Vidvan. Kiva Bipra Kiva Nasi Sudra Kenina, E Krishna Tattavit, Se Guruha. Learned person who can even be considered guru is a person who knows the science of Krishna. Oh, it is nice opportunity to be able to talk about education in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, where there's such an excellent example that one can partake in the best standard of deity worship, or darshan of the deity, in the best atmosphere of chanting and hearing, and with all the educational facilities to become inspired and to go, those who don't live in Vrindavan, to go wherever you serve in the world and be an educator in Prabhupada's movement. And if we do this, then Krishna in our hearts will give us more and more knowledge. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna.
Subjective?
This question, he refers to a verse in the Mahabharata that Prabhupada often quoted, that you can't know the truth by logic or even by studying scripture and different philosophers of speculation. The truth is hidden in the heart of the self-realized devotee. So Sureswara Prabhu says, this sounds like knowledge is very subjective, and not that it's guru, shastra and sadhu, but it's something hidden in the heart of a person. This could be dangerous. My understanding is that the statement that it's in the heart doesn't mean it's something different than what's in the scripture, a guru, that the guru knows and the sadhu knows. But we shouldn't think it's such a obvious, easy thing to pick up. It has to be learned from a person who is expert, who's practicing, and who has realization. In one sense, it's not so confidential. The principle is not so mysterious. It's the same principle in material education, that you can look at books and music and try to practice yourself, but what you really need is to practice with a master. Exactly how to play the instrument, how to live in a discipline as a musician or whatever the field is you want to know. You could study and study and you'd never learn what he can teach you in a minute. So the actual practice is there, or the knowledge is there, but we will just fumble and take wrong paths and find contradictions on our own. The danger, you say, the danger may be if someone proclaims the knowledge is hidden in my heart, you should learn from me. And actually what's hidden in his heart is lust, anger, and desire to have followers, and desire to make money. And then you get cheated because you thought, oh, this man said the knowledge is hidden in his heart. So there has to be some symptoms of somebody being a bona fide person whom knowledge in the heart is personified, that Krishna is speaking to him, or Krishna is revealing to him all the essential truths. It's dangerous in the wrong hands, but it's a very inspiring statement which makes us think, then I should find out such a person. I must find out the person. Mahajana Yena Gita Sapanta. Find out the line of teachers who carry this parampara. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.